We're out and about today over in Knockadoon with the wonderful Tom Harrington, and he's telling us all about lovely stories. And stay listening to us here on CRY because there's lots more to come. And it's great to have Tom here. He invited me out and I'm delighted with myself. It's a fantastic walk. And as the lady and gentleman we met earlier said, Tom, very safe for children. Like, they're not near the edge of the water at all.
No, very safe for children. And if, even if you wanted to go break off the pet, left or right, you can't.
You can't because there's forest keeping
that's right, here. Because so, you've got natural forest.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a natural kind of a fence anyway.
Yeah, which will keep the children from wandering too
exactly.
far.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, look, I suppose, you know, parents are, have a bit of cop on nowadays. They're not going to leave a child do something that they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, it's a safe enough walk. Now, I suppose over at the lookout post and the signal tower, you've probably got to keep a bit of an extra eye on them there because, you know, they could wander down the cliffs. But
yeah.
So look, it's like this, Tom. I mean, you know, if you want to walk out across the road, the car coming, you can do that too, right? You know, but a bit of common sense is what it's all about, you know.
But this path is a wonderful community project. I mean, in other areas of the country, there's been resistance by various parties involved. But Tom, you and the committee here and the council, fair juice to you. You got everybody on board to produce a wonderful asset for your community, and not just for the community, actually, for everybody coming, like those people came from near to Cork City.
That's so right, Tom. Well, I suppose,
it's just well done to the people here in the Knockadoon area for cooperating.
Well, I suppose the first people you must get on board, Tom, are the landowners. And even though you're walking on furs either side of you and heather,
yes,
and you're walking along a cliff, you could say,
yes,
it's still owned by people. So the first thing was to get permission from the landowners. And you know, I suppose, thank God, we had no kind of a person that was awkward about the thing. They all said, look, make it safe as safe as you can, and all that. And in fair play to them, I suppose we had maybe five or six landowners since we started our journey now, Tom.
Yeah.
That owned different parts of the walk.
And all cooperated fully.
And all cooperated
fair
fully.
Fair juicy.
You know.
They're listening in.
And they were all, they were locals now. They were all local people.
Well done to
but
them.
But like everything else, they wanted the walk to be... I suppose, like, we want people to have what we take for granted probably every day.
Yeah.
Going back years, Tom, before this was opened up as a walk, right? There were still people walking along the edges of the cliffs, like. I mean, there was a natural walk there, right?
Yeah. Which was so, a bit dangerous now for families.
Nobody could stop people from walking along the edge of the cliffs, but it was a bit dangerous, like, unless you know where you were going.
Going, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't accessible for families now, Tom, I put it that way to you, no?
Whereas this is, again... just to let our listeners know, anybody with a buggy now or even a wheelchair, they can move along.
Well, maybe a wheelchair. It's not a thermocadam walk,
no,
Tom.
No, it's gravel. Yeah.
We kept it as natural as possible.
Yeah.
But like, you know, well, for buggies, it, you know, if you have big enough wheels and buggies, you can. But it would be a small bit tough in places. Though. There's no point in telling the people that you could come along here in a buggy.
Yeah.
But you can in parts.
Yeah.
But I suppose, look, it's a walk more than a kind of a buggy kind of a walk. But who knows, in time, Tom, in years to come, we might maybe start thermocadding it and making it a bit more accessible. But then sometimes people like to leave things more natural. And and of course, I suppose, bird watching wise, Tom, is we forgot about to mention that. I mean, there is a lot of areas here now where you can see, you know, various different birds, mostly cliff birds now. We have ravens, we have rooks, we have peregrine falcons, we have buzzards.
Wow.
We have...
that's a fantastic...
I don't think we have a sea eagle yet, but we could have.
Yeah,
we have.
They're getting more
they
popular,
are. They are. We have fulmars. We have, obviously, the common seagull.
Are they all along the area now, Tom, without giving their location away? Or
it would be, Tom,
areas,
you'd see them. Like, I mean, at the moment, we don't see no birds, but believe me, Tom, I walk here fairly regularly, and you would see birds here, like, but...
Yes.
You know, it's possible if you're a bird watcher, you're kind of watching over these things anyway, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
So we're moving along now, listeners, and
we're coming
to another area now, Tom, but another fishing area. Now, like that again, if we were over in that corner, we'd probably see it better. So we'll just go a small bit further and then we'll talk about the next fishing spot that's known as Nick's Guilean.
And your own family now, you were saying the Harringtons, you've been here since the 1830s, 1800s anyway.
I would say, Tom, even further back, definitely the late 1700s, maybe the mid 1700s.
Yeah.
But I have an official document that we found long ago, a rent paper from 1770 something. So we probably would have that.
Yeah.
As well, you know.
We're meeting another nice lady here on the journey. Are you enjoying your walk, may we ask?
Absolutely amazing.
Isn't it lovely today? I must say, my first time on the walk, and this is Tom Harrington, one of the men who brought about. And are you a local lady yourself?
Well, Ballymacody, yeah.
Okay. And would you recommend it to our listeners now?
Oh, 100%.
It's so beautiful.
It's like heaven on earth.
It is indeed.
Peace of heaven.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, we're very blessed.
And we're blessed with the weather, aren't we?
Very blessed,
indeed.
Very blessed.
Yeah. Enjoy your walk anyway.
You too, take care.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. There's another nice lady now. Listeners, enjoying the walk. Tom, this is the, as we were saying, the 5th of December, listeners, and I thought there'd be me and Tom and the sheep. We're meeting loads of people,
we're meeting loads of people, Tom, and like during the summer, like, I mean, the summer evenings there.
Oh,
the summer
I can imagine.
Days.
Yep.
I mean, it's busy, busy, busy. But
yeah,
like I said, Tom, you know, nobody's causing us hassle. Everybody's... The only thing we probably would say, Tom, a small little of a bugbear, and look, we're not complaining about it, but if people could just maybe, the odd time, bring their rubbish back with them.
And clean up after their dogs.
And yes, we've seen a bit of that, Tom, haven't we?
Yeah, and even in your... I must say, our own Jimmy Flanagan is great at highlighting it on the radio. I mean... People should look at it. They should have a bag. If they have a dog, they should have a bag in their hand.
That's right. Look, I suppose.
We don't want little children walking into
the
house.
You don't. But I suppose, look, Tom, I suppose that's just a fact of life at the moment where there's people walking. But, you know, just if they have a tissue or if they have anything, just bring it back. Don't just throw it out because.
No.
You know, it's as easy to put it into your pocket as throw it in the ground.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, as we're coming along, there's another beautiful piece of stonework here, Tom.
Beautiful.
For the listeners now, we're roughly about 200 yards from the signal tower, heading back east, and we're in an area now, Tommy, on your right-hand side as you look down. There's another fishing area down there now, Tom, just over that brow there. Yeah. And as you can see, it's fairly steep.
Yeah, indeed.
But would you believe, Tom, there was people went down there for years and years, fishing pollock as well.
You say,
why do they want to go down there?
Yeah.
There's a hole down there, Tom, and the fishing area I'm discussing at the moment is a place called Nick's Guileen. And who was the Nick, you asked me, Tom? The Nick was a man that lived up back behind us here. He was called Nick Hankert. His house is still standing, by the way. But the Hankerts, those Hankerts are gone from the area at the moment. But that was his rock, because obviously, down through the generations, he used to fish there, and the Hankers used to fish there, and then the locals nicknamed it Nick's Guileen.
Wow.
Nick's Guileen. And a great place for pollock. And Tom, I suppose, like that again, you know, youngsters nowadays, parents are watching them. They don't leave them outside their sight in case they'd fall. We as children, we were 12, 13 years of age, and we'd leave home, and we used to go down that rock there, Tom. And you should see... But that rock is there, Tom. It's pure sheer. Now, Tom, if I turn around, there's a man approaching us, and he could not have come at a better time.
And who is this nice man?
This gentleman, Tom, was a man that stood in this spot back in November 2019. Jar, was it? 2018?
18.
In the rain and the wind. And this man is Jud Donnelly.
Chair.
This local man.
Tommy Collins from Community Radio, y'all. We're just doing a little tribute to yourselves here in Knockadoon, and Tom is showing me this wonderful path. And had Chair something to do with yourselves in the committee?
Chair's wife, Catherine, is a member of the committee, but Chair is a fantastic helper. And like I said, wet days here in November, Tommy, digging this out of us.
We were just saying, and we met some people along the way, Chair, that you're to be congratulated for the community spirit here in Knockadoon. It's just a wonderful walk, really. What a resource.
It is, I suppose. We're lucky to have it on our doorstep. We've always looked out and admired the view, but since the walk went up, I think everybody's appreciated it.
Oh, it's so brilliant.
A lot more, you know.
Yeah, this is my first time.
Oh, is it?
My first, well, it won't be my last, let me tell you now.
Well, like Tom said, on the day that we were here, many days, and Timmy Griffin and a digger, Bobby Shea, and Jeff Finn's men travelling from the opposite direction, we were commenting to one another, it was a bit like the tunnel. If they didn't meet, we were in trouble. One guy keep going for Knockadoon, the other guy keep going for Ballygotton. You know, it was that technical now, wasn't it? It was good, and it was nice to have it turn out so good. And look,
it's just
the amount of people that are appreciating it.
Yeah. And you're obviously a keen photographer.
Sure, the views here and the Tom was talking about the birds that you could see and
I know, I've only brought it with me to take a few, how good they are, we'll see when we go back.
To be fair now, you're to be congratulated, Ger. You know, you should all take a bow, really, the good people here in the committee and the good people in Ochadoon. And great cooperation, Tom was telling us, about from the landowners. That isn't always possible in other parts of the country.
It's not, as you can see, look, we had to put that boundary there because without that... In fairness, I mean, you can see a lot of it is out on what you would consider no man's land.
Yeah.
But you see, the rights run out.
They do indeed.
And people are entitled to be, approached and asked, and they were all very helpful.
Fair dues to the good people in Ochadoon here.
Yeah. So the old committee is still going strong. We're all doing our bits, and Thomas is about to put up the sign he possibly told you.
Yeah. We are going to re-establish the old era signs, Tom, that were out in the headlands during the Second World War.
Never knew about those. Tell us more.
We'll head that way, Tom, and we'll have a good chat about it. Okay. We'll talk about it.
But anyway, you were saying this area again, just for our listeners.
Nick, and you can ask Jonathan there again. Nick Skyleen.
Nick
Hankard. I was just telling Tommy how severe it was to get down to it.
Kind of a mountain goat job, but not cutting, Tom. We'd be delighted going down to get mackerel and pollock, and you'd be hopefully to catch a good few. The biggest problem is ringing up, because you're the rod in one hand. And you were trying to hold the fish, the rod, and try and get a good grip. It was just sheer down.
Yeah.
There were floaters, as they were commonly known. There was a container ship, lost a container load or a certain amount of cargo load of timber back in the mid-80s. And Thomas's brother, Paul, and myself went down. Another man, the Sunday committee, and gave a help, John Dillahoo. But we went down the afternoon, and I remember bringing them up. No, they'd be bigger than scaffold planks, maybe 9 inches by 2 inches, eight feet long.
Good timber.
And we were delighted to get it. You had to leave it dry out and carry them up those. Just madness.
Here. And you were mighty men to do it.
But it's lovely. There's a Rockford Robbie, obviously, past it, Foyle Gailleen and the Dracorrig. Yeah, more accessible, but that one was very awkward.
Yeah.
If you saw two young lads now today going down there with rods, you'd be inclined to warn them off.
You would,
yet we were doing it, and it was common practice.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things have changed.
And our parents, they knew where we were going, but they didn't seem to be worried about us at all.
They knew you were.
And we never, thank God, we never fell in, or nobody ever fell in. I don't know, were we just lucky, the will of God that kept us safe or what?
Listen, a view we're having today now, where would you get that?
And the sun is starting to set now, Tom, so possibly we better keep going. We'll be talking in the dark.
Thank you, Ger.
No problem.
Thank you very much indeed. Ger Donnelly there talking to us listeners now.
His father, actually, Tommy, was a rural reporter on CRY back in the day called Hawley Donnelly.
I remember Hawley, yeah.
That's his son, Gerald.
Well, now, isn't that? The wheel has turned. God be with Hawley now. He's looking down at us what a wonderful man.
Hawley was...
Awesome. And that's Gerard.
That's his son, Gerald.
Well, that's wonderful to have Gerard on board.
Yeah, I'm glad I thought of that, though, because...
No, that's wonderful, because I remember, I actually think I met Hawley, and I interviewed him a few times when Noel was out on jobs.
That's
He was always a wonderful gentleman,
He used to do the rural report on Saturday morning before Dennis Upson, actually.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Dennis took off him then, Hawley was the rural reporter for this area that time, and that's his son.
Now, go back again now to our little story about yourself and Mickey Welch, was it, on the fishing? Do you remember on the fishing boat?
We were
talking about that before the people came along,
Like I said, I was only a young fella, Tom. I was about, 14, 15 years of age.
Yeah.
And that time, back in the mid-80s, we used to be fishing for salmon a day and night that time. Day and night. We were extra careful, and thank God, we were lucky, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the most of the fishermen in Ochadoon, Tom, none of them can swim. As far as I know, maybe the younger fellas know can swim, but a lot of the older fishermen could never swim.
Okay.
They just relied on be careful what they were doing.
Yeah.
And just respect the sea.
Yeah.
Respect the sea is the main thing, Tom.
And tell me, what kind of a boat did you have?
We had a Lee fisherman, 17 foot, and they were made by a chap called Geary. I think he used to make them in Carrick Tool, Tommy, if I'm right.
Yeah.
Or maybe Cove. But they were a very popular boat back in the 70s and the 80s.
Okay.
A very great seaworthy boat and a great fishing boat.
Yeah.
17-foot punt. Some of them went up to 19. And then there was a bigger version here with an inboard diesel. It was a 21-foot geary. But the fishermen and y'all fished in the same type of boats, Tom. They all fished those kind of boats around the coast here,
Yeah. There you went out a fair distance, were you saying, 3 miles from it?
Yeah, and we used to fish at night time, Tom. And that time, you'd shoot your nets in the middle of Yall Harbour.
Yes.
And the tide in would bring them all around the head here, Tom. All around. And you could end up in the morning off of Ballycotton.
Wow.
And that went on for a couple of summers. The salmon industry, Tom, was huge that time, like, you know, absolutely yes. huge. You know, it's gone now, and it's so
it's
sad
shame,
to see
it
gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I said, there was no harm being done by the
couple of small boats
around here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gave them a living for the summer.
Yeah.
And it's all gone. But as I said before, I forget it, Tom, and we move on. We're very close now, listeners, to the signal tower and the castle and the lookout post, and we'll be talking a lot about that in a few minutes' time. But before I go, and just to remember the fishermen that are gone, you have the Motherways, you had Jack Motherway. His son is still alive, John. John was a great fisherman, but Jack was his father. He's gone to his eternal reward. Johnny Welch, Lord of mercy, he's gone. He was Mickey's brother. Mickey himself has passed away. Another great man below Knockadoon was a fellow called Jackie O'Brien. He's gone as well. I'm probably going to miss somebody down here,
that's
Tom.
Okay.
But when you're
there's some of them anyway.
There's
yeah,
some
yeah.
of them, yeah.
And was there a boatyard that fixed all these boats, or where did
No,
the boats?
They used to fix them themselves, Tom. You know,
okay.
But they were mostly fiberglass boats in the later day times. But Paddy O'Shea, I finally forgot about Paddy O'Shea. He had a timber boat. Teddy O'Shea, he's passed as well. Georgie O'Shea, Paddy Rumley, the O'Briens, they're still alive, thank God. Junior O'Brien, just to remember their names.
Indeed,
and they all fished out straight in front of us here, Tom. And,
wow.
and you know, it was a great crack. As a young fella, 14, 13 years of age, Tom, I loved it. Like, I mean, I grew up very fast as a teenager, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't grow up, you were going to be left behind, kind of thing, you know.
Can I ask, were you paid for this? Or
bob
anyway into your pocket?
I'll tell you, Tom, at the start, right, you'd get 50 pence a fish, which wasn't great.
No.
But as a young fella, no, as things got on better, then you'd get a share.
All right,
and then
yeah.
you were kind of making, you know, but we never. The first thing, I'll tell you a funny story, Tom. The very first wage I got that was somewhere decent, I bought a pair of binoculars, right?
Right.
I bought a good pair of binoculars now, Tom, right? And would you believe, Tom, to this day, I still have them at home. And I was 13 years of age when I bought them.
Well,
and now I'm 57.
You're very enterprising.
I looked after them, but yeah. I always remember my first good wage, I bought those binoculars.
And would you go out in storms and bad weather? Was it
well,
good weather?
You'd never go out intentionally in a storm, but what you would do is you'd go out, we'll say, of a day, and there could be a storm brew up, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the wind could pick up, and, you know, it could get nasty. There was a couple of nasty days in my time with the lads.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was great camaraderie. If somebody wasn't coming in, there'd be somebody watching out for you. I mean, the whole thing was now there was a bit of competitiveness about a tour, and fellas trying to get good berths and trying to... But there was never any bad rows. There was always a bit of banter and a bit of blagging, but there was never any bad rows. And to this day, people are great. Oh, Timmy Griffin, thank God he's still alive. I forgot about him. He was a great fisherman, especially on the West Coast here now. Timmy actually was the first guy to fish over this direction, Tom. You mightn't believe that now, right?
Yeah.
Because they'd never come around the point here, the Castle Point, right? Or the Castle Corner. They were afraid. But Timmy came over here one day and... Timmy opened the door then, and everybody used to follow Timmy after that. But Timmy had some great days over here in thunder and lightning, fishing for salmon, and had some great hauls, Tom.
Wow. And I was going to say to you, was it salmon mainly you were fishing for?
Mainly salmon, Tom, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that time they used to fish the lobsters as well, but the lobsters would come after the salmon season. That time the salmon season used to go from the middle of February up to the middle of August. And it is the years before it was closed down. It became a shorter season. I think it was only maybe the start of June to the end of July. And then they eventually just closed it completely. And look, it's sad that it's gone. It's the end of an era. And, you know, like everything else, Tom, we've got rid of our sugar beet. We've got rid of our salmon fishing. We're getting rid of everything we can possibly think to get rid of now, Tom. And nobody knows what's going to happen then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But can people get individual licenses to fish at the moment, Tom, or is it
you
still
can,
all
you can do a bit of angling up the river now, Tom.
Or can you
still
go salmon fishing if
no,
you
no,
want it?
No, 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 no,
oh,
no, no. You can use a drift net now, Tom.
Or and a rod or
well, you see, you won't catch salmon off the rocks.
All
like.
Right, sorry.
I mean, the only place you'll get salmon will be up the river.
Okay.
Fishing the river.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, we're getting very close to the main topic of today, I suppose, or part of it now. And Tom, and on your right here, as we're approaching it, you can see the ground is freshly dug.
Yes.
Now, Tommy, you're asking me what's happening here.
Yeah, what
so
is happening? It looks
you,
like a site for something.
That's right. During the Second World War, right, as you know, the lookout posts were built, right, and we'll talk about that when we get over there. We are re-establishing or bringing back the old era sign that was here, Tom, right? And you might ask me, what's the era sign? When the lookout posts were built during the start of the Second World War, about a year or two later, they decided that they needed to put the word era in white, and the number of the area that was in, which in our case is 21. So every place there was a lookout post, they put the word ERA on the ground. So what I'm saying, they were about roughly, Tom, about, I suppose the width was maybe a metre and a half wide, maybe a quarter of a metre up off the ground. The word ERA in capital letters was put on the ground with cement and stone, and it was whitewashed, so that when Allied planes were flying over, obviously they had no GPSs and navigation, that they would spot the word ERA, and they know they would be flying over neutral Ireland.
Yeah.
Mostly the Germans, and later on the Americans, they were trying to tell them in case they dropped their payloads or try to get rid of their bombs before they get home. So every place where there was a lookout post, an LOP, all around the coast, the ERA signs were established.
Okay. The original one is gone, obviously.
The original one is gone, Tom. We know it was around this area here. I think what happened was, later on in the years, the stones were taken by the farmers to build ditches.
All right.
And it eventually disappeared. And unfortunately, there's nobody old enough. We've got a rough idea where it was. So we've decided now as KEP that we're going to re-establish the ERA sign that was here.
Wow, that'll be good.
And that's what's happening here now, Tom.
Yeah.
There's a few adjustments. We must make it a small bit wider. So up here on top, Tom, we'll have the number 21. And then underneath that, we'll have the word ERA, E-I-R-E in capital letters.
So anybody going on your holidays now, you might keep an eye out. When is it going to be?
Well, it's a project that we've started. It probably won't be ready till probably sometime in the spring.
Okay, next year. Be visible from the air.
It will,
anyway.
It will. Yeah, and, okay. And obviously with drones now, it'll be very visible.
Yeah, yeah.
So that will be a nice addition, bringing back the old ERA sign, Tom.
Have your community council got their own Facebook or website
they
that
have.
People
they
can
have.
Look up?
Yes, Tom? if you go into Facebook and look up KEP.
KEP, what does that stand for?
Knockadoon Enhancement Project.
Knockadoon Enhancement Project now, yeah. Listeners. And Google that if you'd like.
It's chaired by a great committee.
Yeah.
My own brother, Billy Harrington, is the chairman at the moment.
Come on, Billy.
He has a fantastic secretary, an absolute angel, and a woman that does so much work for us in Siobhan. Her maiden name is Siobhan Shanahan. She's a local living in the area.
Well done, Siobhan.
She does fantastic work. And then there's a committee like myself, and we have... We have Michael Sloan, we have Michael Welsh, would be a son of Mickey Welsh, my great friend of the past. Catherine Donnelly, another great man, a lot of local men, who does a pile of work in the area again, is a chap called John O'Brien. He just lives down the road there, Tom. And Pat Murphy, he's our treasurer, I must forget Pat.
And we met Ger there.
And we met Ger, his wife is a part of it, but Ger does a pile of people that just help
out. That
help
out, yeah, well done, yeah.